You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Creativity Wasted is a podcast where three or four comedians or creative people each share a creative idea, such as a movie idea, app idea, or futuristic tech idea. The idea can be funny or serious, well thought out or improvised, realistic or ridiculous, but we'll always have fun talking and joking about it. I'm comedian Tom Wolma.
I'm comedian Trebuchet.
I'm comedian Ian James.
I'm comedian Scott Wilding.
And this is Creativity Wasted. Who wants to go first with their idea?
I can do it. This is okay. Trebuchet.
Go ahead.
We're ready to go. All right. I have brought to the table a sitcom idea, and it's going to be kind of themed like that 70s show set up that way, but in the 90s. But the main difference about this is that it's a Juggalo sitcom, and we can go from into everything. Start out with the main character's first fago, their first time smoking weed. Or even the first time disappointing their parents. All kinds of good stuff. And I have a good idea for a first episode where the dad of the main character walks in on the main character painting their face, and all they can keep thinking is, oh my God, my son's wearing makeup. I think that's a good starting point for this. And then we can just go into just a whole bunch of other stuff like this, the main character figuring out what the gathering of the Juggalos is all about, like their first time going. It's a modern day Woodstock where just a bunch of painted up clowns get together and spray each other with fago on purpose, and they have the time of their lives. I think this is a really good jumping off point. And then
you've totally forgotten about the random public sex at the gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, I did forget about that. And we could also go into the horror and disappointment of the Tila Tequila incident. I don't know if you guys know about this or not.
Yeah, I've heard
about
it.
I know.
Oh, yeah. For lack of a better term, they threw poo at her on purpose. And they had a good time about it. I don't know. It's something that the main character, I feel, would be disappointed in. I don't think that's something they like very much. I don't know about you guys, but I think the people would get behind that. And then they would get into also other serious stuff as to the first time they were labeled a gang member. And it's like, whoa, we just like painting our faces and stuff. And then the pinnacle of the finale of this would be the Juggalo March that they had on Washington, whereas they made a political stance to show that they weren't gang members, and then the federal government decided that they were. So nothing happened in that regard. And that's the end of the first season. That is my pitch here, fellas.
All of that happens in the first season.
Yes, I think that's a good season. I think there's a lot of stuff here.
I think that the guy's dad should be a closet Kiss fan.
Oh.
Trying to, like... relate to his kid, like, oh, I like wearing black and white makeup too. Hey,
have the dad be a member of the Kiss Army. I think that would be awesome.
Were you a Juggalo in real life?
Yeah, I would have to say I am a white guy with dreadlocks. I know this is radio; you guys can't see me, but that is a true fact. I am not good at sports, but I do enjoy crappy music and disappointing my parents. No, I'm just kidding. They're actually really proud. But yeah, this is what I do, and I'm a stand-up comedian by trade. I run an open mic here in Grand Rapids because you guys are in Detroit. I'm all the way on the other side of the hand over here, and I run open mic at Fulton Street Pub and Grill every Wednesday at 9:00. And yeah, it's wonderful times here.
I am even further west than you.
Oh, so, yeah, where are you at?
Sorry, I'm in Chicago now.
Chi-town, cool.
So you were a Juggalo. Sorry, dude.
Oh, yeah. None of us are in the same place at this point.
Yeah, I ran out of local comics.
It's very 2018 of us. It was great.
So this is a sympathetic view towards Juggalos. It's not just Juggalo bashing the whole time.
No, I think there's enough of that. I think this should be from a Juggalo's perspective. I don't think that's out there yet. Because that, like you know what I mean? That's like an in-depth view of it from Tale from the Other Side. We're not all bastards. Like, it's like I tell people, if I wish I was like the first Juggalo everybody met, because like I'm not gonna just fucking get in your face and stuff like that. But I will kindly acknowledge that you probably will not like the music, because it's a little bit heavier on like the violence and stuff like that, but it's still like a really cool family. It's like, and that's the word they use.
Well, I think it's kind of a feel-good story with the Juggalos, because everybody kind of looked at them as a joke for all this time, and then they did the whole march on Washington, and they should be hailed as heroes at this point, shouldn't they? Or something like that.
I'll be honest, no punk rocker ever thought we'd be like, hey, let's hang out with some Juggalos. They're some responsible people.
Nobody's gonna be like, here, let me give my kids to these Juggalos real quick. I think there needs to be some like questioning in there, like, and that could be a episode too, where like, because I've seen some stuff as a Juggalo where other Juggalos just make me go, oh my lord, you should not be teaching your kids this right now. Like, they're like, they're three, they barely know what words are. They should be watching Sesame Street, not, you know, learning what the Dark Carnival is. There's, you know, limitations here that I think
I was raised on Alice Cooper and horror movies. It's not much different.
Well, that's fair. Are we all just too desensitized to care at this point?
Just totally worked. There's a whole bunch of good like comedic bits you can get out of that. Like, you know, like I said, having the dad be like a member of the KISS Army. So, like, he's bashing his son, saying he's, you know, a total delinquent, and then they do, like, a flashback episode where it's, you know, stealing a car to go to the KISS concert, and crap like that.
I could see them just bonding over smoking weed together for the first time. I'm just saying. Just throwing it out there, that would be a good way to make everybody go, ah.
Yeah, or, like, a first beer or something. I think it would probably be a little bit easier to do beer with like a KISS fan for
that's
some
fair.
Reason.
That's fair.
What year?
Yeah, no. That's,
what? Totally. Well, were KISS's drug of choice? Was it beer?
I thought it was hairspray. No.
But yeah, KISS didn't really have a drug of choice, at least the primary members. Gene Simmons is a teetotaler. And Paul Stanley didn't really get into too much. That's actually why Ace Frehley got kicked out of the band, was because of his drug use.
The kids did have a pro wrestler, though. I do know that. And the ICP did wrestle, so there's some bonding elements there, too. So,
yep.
See, I'm just saying.
Also, yeah, like, Alice Cooper's done work with KISS, and ICP actually made lyrics saying, Psycho Circus, you stole my shit. Yeah, because obviously Dark Carnival, and then KISS came out with Psycho Circus.
Yeah. That's off the Great Malenko, if you're keeping score at home out there.
Yep.
That would be the one
album that I still listen to every once in a while with those guys.
That's fun. It's a fun time. I like riding in my car listening to it. I don't know what that is. That's a whole episode, just riding in a car. I think there's an episode of Seinfeld about just driving in a car.
So you guys are about early to mid 30s?
I'm 33.
So, like, the height of ICP was about the year 2000-ish, right? Maybe a little earlier.
Yeah, about the dropping of the Six Jokers card about that time is when they peaked, probably.
I mean, for me, I think they kind of peaked 97 when they did Malenko. They had a whole bunch of awesome artists on that album. Like Slash plays guitar on the song Halls of Illusions. The demo version of Piggy Pie had Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols on it. They had to change the lyrics, which is why the only way that you can get the Steve Jones version is by buying Forgotten Freshness. Alice Cooper did the intro to the album. So like there was a lot of really awesome rock and roll like people on that album. And I know all of this because my brother is a huge Juggalo. So,
Oh yeah. We're everywhere. I know. I've noticed.
Well, I mean, we were in Detroit. So like,
yeah, I know. Their headquarters is somewhere around there, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Just probably reeks of marijuana and like old Faygo.
Oh yeah, for sure. I had to pick my brother up the night Hollowkin turned into a riot.
Are there going to be female characters in the sitcom? Like, how, go ahead.
You mean, love interest? I think there should be a love interest at times because, speaking from a Juggalo's perspective, there's probably a hot girl that the main character would like, but would never get, because that's what they do in TV. They make up and break up thing. I think you got to do that. You got to do that. And then just have, there obviously has to be that other girl in the distance that the main character just ignores the whole time. That's the one. You've all seen TV.
Yeah.
Let's make this happen.
Yeah, you can also do like a, oh my God, it's the dream girl that he meets at the gathering.
Oh yeah, you could do that too.
And have her be an absolute psychopath.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, obviously. Well, yeah.
Like just absolute psychopath. She's totally down for hanging out and like getting into it with him. And then she like drops acid and, you know, does what you do at the gathering of the Juggalos, which could mean, you know, five dicks at once. Why not?
So the gathering and ICP fandom is pretty heavily male, right? Like what percentage of
No, there's a lot of female fans.
Really?
I was gonna ask that. I wasn't sure about that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I don't know. It's been my experience that the heaviest people in Twitter are usually male. So I would put the number at like at least 69, but I'm that guy.
I would say it's probably 60-40 or 55-45. For instance, horrorcore rappers from the Detroit area, I know a ton of them, you know, a lot of them did face painting, stuff like that. There were an insane amount of women at the shows when I used to go.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there isn't women there.
Oh no, that's what we're saying. How many, like fans wise, it was, I would say half women. Is
wow.
Pretty insane, really.
Somebody should put a poll up somewhere.
I guess women women tend to like rap music a lot, but they don't really like metal quite as much. And they're sort of in between.
It was just outcast music.
Guitars and stuff, but like, no, because a lot of mainstream bands tour with them too. Like I've seen Tech N9ne on the same card as ICP. I've seen Bone Thugs and Harmony with ICP. I've seen it's been crazy. They always bring a good crowd.
Cottonmouth Kings toured with them.
All the time.
Twisted toured with them for ages.
Together was crazy.
So let's.
Mine with Self-Indulgence even opened up for them back in the day.
So this is a sitcom. So let's try to come up with like a plot for an episode. So let's say it's in the late 90s. There's their kids, and they're listening to ICP. What would a plot for an episode be in that time period?
In the 90s?
Well, first of all, you don't have cell phones, really.
No, you don't.
You get to play around with a lot there.
Yeah. You'd have them all sitting, listening to one of the albums in a circle, just talking about it.
So how does that...
Just, you know, hanging out, being kids, screwing off, messing with each other.
How does that work? You're all in clown makeup. Half the audience is in clown makeup. You don't have cell phones. So the show ends. It's dark. It's fairly dark out, let's say. How do you find each other amongst a sea of black and white clowns in the dark without cell phones?
Usually just kind of went, like when you were on your matches. Way and went, hey, meet here after the show.
Yeah, you do. Meet by pillar C over there. Remember where we parked our car? Sometimes that's what it was. Remember where we parked our car? We just get separated.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was the same thing. It's the same thing at punk shows. I guess for an episode, you could have them like try, because like back then, weed wasn't legal either. So you could have them trying to cop weed for an episode.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Having to go through shady dealers. Get oregano because they don't, because like, let's face it, they're probably suburban kids. They don't know fucking know weed is. So it's like they end up getting a bag of oregano. His dad laughs at him.
So this show would be aimed at kids of today, showing them how, like, a bunch of jokes about how different it was back in their parents' generation, kind of like that 70s show.
Probably geared more towards the 18 to 35 demographic than kids, more probably.
Oh, so it's aimed for the actual fans, not their kids.
Well, you get the nostalgia factor of it because it'll be taking place in the 90s, but you would also probably draw in some younger people too, you know?
Yeah, I mean, think about a show like Off the Boat.
Yeah.
You know, think about a show like Off the Boat. It takes place in like 95, 96. But like, they're talking about stuff like when Biggie got shot. And then when Tupac died, and then they figure out, oh crap, this might be a conspiracy. Like, you know, it's all that like nostalgia of figuring out the fact that the conspiracy theory that Tupac might not be dead, like all that type of stuff. It's stuff that you've heard about for ages, but you never really think of what it was like to
you don't have footage of it really either. You're recreating what it was like. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. So like, for instance, when The Great Malenko came out, it was a huge news story, like a national news story, because Hollywood Records,
censorship was big back then.
What's that?
Censorship was a thing back then. Like, people were trying to censor them, shut them down, shut down their concerts and shows and stuff. It was
great times. But that made headline news across the country because Hollywood Records, the record company that they were on, was owned by Disney. And they pulled the record the day it got released. So very, very few copies of the original Hollywood version got out. It made huge headlines across the country, and they got picked up by another label, which released the album again with like three or four new songs. But now everybody across the country had heard of them, because before that they were basically just like a Detroit Midwest thing. So like, you could even pick up with like, you know, parents getting pissed at that, oh, look at this crap you're listening to.
I think the mom character will be freaking out about this whole thing. I think the mom will be thinking he's worshiping Satan.
Like the second season, you can do Columbine, because that would have happened the next year.
True.
Yeah, because I was in school when it happened, and I was in 7th or 8th grade. So now you got bands like Marilyn Manson, ICP being blamed for school shootings.
Yeah, that was a huge news story.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm saying, like,
break that down.
Did you have CDs or cassettes?
It lets you bring in some levity, and you basically make it like a normal sitcom, but then you get to pull in these, you know, heavy stories every once in a while that are still popular for some reason.
You can't forget about the beef with Eminem either. Like, you got to have the main character take a side in the ICP Eminem battle. You just got to do that.
I like to focus a little more on the actual sitcom than the broad news stuff. Like, is the character, is it based on you then? You'd be the main character?
We could call the main character Trebuchet. That would not hurt my feelings. but yeah, we could do that. And go into decisions like dreadlocking your hair, how decisions like that get made, and how people like your grandparents react to that. That's always fun.
Yeah. Well, I think we're sort of out of time with your idea. We need to get to everyone else.
Yeah.
Who else wants to go with their idea?
Sure, I'll go with mine. Mine's actually, obviously you've heard about this one, Tom. Mine's actually something I'm doing. So what I'm doing is I'm going to be Twitch streaming, but that's obviously for the uninformed, a video game streaming system, like a website that you can use on your computer to stream you playing video games. Well, recently one of my friends gave me a game called Comedy Night, which is basically a voice chat room that simulates a comedy club with one person on stage, and then other people can still talk, so you can get hecklers, but they're obviously at a lower volume level than the person on stage. And the idea that I have for it is to randomly go into rooms, because these people are just doing street jokes, like what's the difference between a Jew and a pizza? Pizza doesn't scream when you put it in the oven. Har, har, har. You know, that type of stuff. So the idea is I'm going to actually take my material that I do on, like, in a real comedy club and go on there and use it and stream what happens, whether it's getting hecklers that are just yelling racial epithets at me, or, you know, calling me a faggot, and then me obviously cutting them down to size. But the eventual plan is to get other comedians to get on this game with me and start streaming it. Maybe doing like a Skype interview with, you know, the people beforehand, and hopefully leading up to using an account and actually streaming a real live show through the game. So you would have both people online interacting with it, like in the room, like in the comedy chat room, whatever you want to call it, people being able to watch via Twitch, and then obviously people actually seeing the real show in the comedy club.
Oh, it's in a comedy club, a real comedy
club.
Well,
that's the eventual goal. Right now it's going to be me sitting at my computer with a, you know, a video camera so you can see me, a microphone, and doing it myself. But the idea eventually is to do, because apparently because of the money that can be generated from it, like YouTube stars, Twitch stars, stuff like that are getting time at comedy clubs. They're getting dates where they'll get a Twitch channel to come in and basically play video games on stage and make jokes about it. And they'll sell the place out because they make it an all-ages show and a bunch of 16-year-olds just buy all the tickets. So I figured, why not do something like that with actual comedy? It's a game where comedy could actually mix with it. It's based off of real comedy clubs. Why not actually put real comedians in there?
So I told you that I would be in to do it, but I'm still a little confused about what it is. So it's a VR game, right? You need a VR headset right now, right?
It is not a VR headset. It is it's a game. Are you familiar with Steam?
Okay, it's on Steam. I thought it was a Steam VR, but it's just an ordinary Steam game with a...
It is an ordinary Steam game. What I meant by, it's a... You get an avatar. You get to, customize them, whatever, however you want to make them look. You can mess with how their voice sounds, too. I personally just make mine sound like me, because if I'm going to do this as a real comedian, I might as well have them hear how I really sound. But it's kind of a weird social experiment for me, because you're getting, instead of hecklers like what you get at clubs, you're getting video game cut downs, like kids telling you that they raped your mother and like stuff like that.
People saying things that they wouldn't say to your face, basically.
Right, exactly. So it's both to see how does real comedy, like real comedy, people that write jokes that don't just use street jokes, how does that fare in that type of situation?
Now, is it so bad that nobody can get through their set? Like, if somebody's doing well and they're actually funny, do people shut up and let them do their jokes? Or is it just a stream of interrupted nothing? Like, just.
I have gone on there and I've done 2 to 3 minutes. I mostly use my introductory material. And I plowed through it. The one thing you can't do is be very slow, because you give people too much room to interject and they will.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you change your pacing and stuff like that. But what I did find is people were like, I was getting boos, I was getting cheers, like, so I was getting a variety of reactions, and that was just from the first time I tried it. So I haven't done as much of it just because I wanted to figure out how to go about it, if that makes sense. Because it's such a weird environment to do a show in. But I figured for a Twitch viewing audience, it would be very entertaining. Both because obviously I'm going to hope to book, funny comedians. Obviously I think I'm pretty decent, but on top of that, because of the insane situation that you put the comedians in with having to deal with 13-year-olds who think that saying that they banged your mom is the funniest thing ever.
So it's a lot of like roast humor, insults, like
literally the way people joke on there is they tell street jokes and they try to tell the most offensive ones they can. That's what most people do when they go on there. And then mostly the heckling is just, oh, you're a fag, or yelling out the N-word for like a minute straight.
But they don't even know. I mean, they might be able to tell from the voice. You have an avatar, right? Is it a human-like avatar, or is it like an animal avatar, or like a?
You can do a couple. You can do different ones. There's a horse head. I make mine pretty much look like me. Stage jacket, glasses,
I gave myself green hair because I wish I could have it still. But yeah, most people just make themselves look like humans, but you can create a character and go on there if you want. Like the end game of this would be being able to have it almost like this is where I'm calling in right now from Chicago to do a podcast. Well, what happened if I could get like a famous comedian on this, like a Bert Kreischer or a Doug Stanhope, and see how, like, we already know those guys are murderers. Like, there's not a room that they don't destroy. So what happens when you dump them into the bowels of the internet?
Now you can book a room.
Eventual idea.
You can like set a lineup, or do you have to just join a show that's set up by the app?
You can start your own room.
Okay.
And does
you can also have a moderator.
Does anybody get to join the audience then, or?
Yeah.
Or does the moderator get to kick people out?
Yes. So if you get somebody who isn't I'm not going to kick out interactive hecklers. If you're actually doing something like to the show, that's kind of the idea of the game.
But where do you draw the line? Like, what if somebody just starts yelling at somebody, you know, if they're,
that's what I'm saying. If that's not being interactive, that is literally just screaming into the void. Then I'll kick you. I'll ban you. You can ban people from the room too.
And if they cut off before a punchline or something, or they're just,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying, that type of stuff, like, because you get some people who just put the microphone up to a speaker that's playing like some movie. If
right,
they do that,
okay,
I'll kick them.
Yeah,
that type of stuff. But say okay, that you're up, you know, oh, sir, what do you do for a living? I'm a comedian. How about you? You know, that's like, if you're getting an actual interactive heckler, that's great for a stream. Or if you get a guy that just yells out, hey, faggot. Yeah, I am a faggot. You know what? I wouldn't even suck your dick. Your mom said it wasn't worth it. You see what I'm saying? Like, even the least creative heckle can turn into something good for a stream. So I would leave those. But if it's just noise for noise sake, just screaming, obviously kick them. The idea of having a moderator.
So, okay. So if I'm in the same show as you, you're streaming like the stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
I'm streaming from my computer screen. So it would have like a video of me because I would feed in the camera. And it would have whatever room I'm in. And you can see everybody's names in there if you hover over their heads.
What you're talking about
is, if I do a stream with a comedian, I'll go and do a Skype call beforehand to be like, hey, here's what we're going to do, da da da, and kind of a little interview beforehand. You know, what are you expecting this to be like? That type of stuff.
So the comedy night game. So I keep interrupting. It's hard to do this over the phone. You can't see people talking. But so the comedy night game shows the stage with you on it as an avatar.
Yes.
The Twitch stream would show an additional like picture in picture in the corner with your actual face. And so let's say you're the MC. You do 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. You are done, so you need to bring up the next guest. Let's say it's me. My avatar shows up on the main screen. Do you have my actual face too?
Your video. I would not have your video feed.
Okay.
However, what you would do is be able to set up a stream of your own.
A Twitch stream.
Right. Now, the reason that I would do it this way, remember at the beginning I was saying, eventually the idea is to bring in other comedians and do it from a location. So eventually what I would like to do is have a camera set up inside of either a podcast studio for smaller shows, or eventually a camera set up in a comedy club. So you could see the person who's actually on stage on the Twitch stream.
Well, what you could do for now, I mean, you could have a Skype. I don't know if you can do a three-way call in Skype, but you could have a two-way call where you have five comics in your apartment in Chicago, and then you have five comics in my house in Detroit area, and whoever's going up, we would show the video there. The Skype that's fed into the Twitch would just switch back and forth between Chicago.
You could set it up a whole bunch of different ways. The Skype call, you could theoretically show two screens. It would be a little harder, but it can be done. The only time that it wouldn't really work is if you were doing several people in one show, you'd have to keep switching them out. So it's doable. It's something that would come down the road because that requires a little more technical finesse. If that makes sense. Cause you obviously don't want to cover the room because you want to be able to see, you know, hecklers and stuff like that too. Audience members.
Yeah, this is interesting. I'm focusing maybe too much on the technical thing, but
it's a really, really good idea. I think it's really cool.
So
I've always liked the idea of marrying video games and comedy. So
how does the avatar move? Does it keyed off of your webcam?
It moves like when you're talking, it will move its mouth along with the audio feed. Generally, it's not going to be perfect, obviously, but it'll do that. And I haven't mastered them yet, but there are buttons where you can move your hands and stuff like that.
Oh, with a game controller.
Yeah, or you can, like, wiggle the eyebrows and shit like that.
Okay.
That's... So it's possible to do facial things with it, but you have to learn the controls.
I have a, this is weird, but I have a thing that's supposed to analyze your brain waves that you stick on your head, and that'll detect facial expressions and map it to controller input. The idea is that you can like move an eyebrow and it'll shoot a gun in a game, whatever. You can set it up that way.
I wish the people who developed this game had that type of idea.
But yeah, that might be cool for the comedy night.
Get that in, I should say.
Yeah, might be more intuitive than trying to press the A button to raise your left eyebrow during a joke.
Right. But it's something you can at least work with. What I've found is it's really good for trying to get wording of a joke down or inflection. Because it forces you to not be as physical. So I think it's somewhere where somebody who's a very, very good joke writer, for instance, I'll use one of my buddies, Josh Harmon, fantastic joke writer. I know he's one of my best friends, so people say I'm, you know, biased, but he has some of the best written jokes that I've ever heard.
And dark jokes that the kids might like.
Oh, yeah.
The heckler kids.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if he got on there and did the, hey, yeah, me and my girlfriend were trying to have a kid. It was a miscarriage. Little bastard died in the trunk. think after the third time I'd learn to drill holes. Like, that type of shit would get eaten up on there.
Right.
At least if they follow along. Now, that's the trick. Do they follow along, or are they just going to be dicks? You never know. They're behind a computer. It's, like I said, it's almost more about to quote Andrew Dice Clay, it isn't about laughs, it's about comedy. So you're there doing your best material. I want people to get in there and do their best material. I want to bring in just straight up murderers. And know that they might not get a laugh.
I kind of want to put Carrot Top up there, see what he does about props, see what happens there. I think that'd be entertaining on there.
Like, what could he do? Or how about somebody like, hell, let's go with Andrew Dice Clay. He's very physical, even if he's not like a cartoon, like a slapstick or a prop comic.
He just needs to know which button is to push smoke cigarette. That's all he needs.
Right, but there's the cigarette smoking, there's the, like, the Fonzie look, there's the pauses that he does. So it's still a much more physical thing than what most people think. Or a Bert Kreischer, you know, who rips off his shirt at the beginning of the show and has all these crazy faces and stuff that he does.
He's got a lot of voice inflection, too. I think he would kill.
Oh, probably. But that's the idea. I want to build it up to the point where I can call up somebody like a Bert Kreischer, and it's not going to bother them to be on there. They don't have to leave their home. Bert can be sitting in his man cave with a Tito's and soda doing the stream. Like he could be on the stream with me. I could do a little interview, like a 10, 15 minute interview with him. Be like, what do you expect it to be like? I don't know, man. I have no idea. And then let him loose. Now, eventually it'll be like scheduled shows where, okay, guys, we're getting ready to stream. If you want to be in the room, here's the room number, da-da-da-da. Okay, cool. But for the first ones, it'll probably just be us crashing random joke rooms. You might only have 3 minutes. So you have to rip through stuff.
Would the ultimate goal be to not have it use avatars, but have the actual, like, not in the Comedy Night app?
No, I would still want to use the Comedy Night app.
Oh, you like the idea of the avatars. It's not just a way to get...
Here's the reason. Eventually, what it's going to be. Not just, like, I'm setting this down. This is what it's going to be eventually. We will have a line set up from the microphone, like, have it feed into the computer that is running the Comedy Night app. Okay? It will be, hopefully, playing on a screen behind the performer who is on stage at a comedy club. So the people in the audience can see that it's playing on the actual stream. But you can have people watching from home. Now, obviously at those shows, people aren't going to they're not going to interact with the audience. So we might ditch the Comedy Night app for those. But in studio ones, for sure, I'd want the app going because I want the feedback from the audience. I want to give the comedian something to play off of. Because comedy is the one thing you can't really practice. You can practice it in front of your mirror, but it's not going to prepare you for, you know, the drunk in the front row. You just have to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had an idea for a previous episode that I called it Never Ending Open Mic, which was basically...
that sounds amazing.
It'd be the same thing that you're talking about, like a but without the avatar thing. But I didn't have an idea on how to actually do it. It was just an idea in my head. It sounds like you've actually planned it out, like some like a successful person would do.
I've been thinking about this for about a month now. I'm planning on sometime this week trying my own stream of it on my Twitch channel, which is Wilding138. You go on Twitch. I'm on there. So go ahead and follow me. I play this and I play League of Legends. And I'm probably pretty funny playing League because I scream at it a lot. So I'm going to start doing that first, just try and get some viewers up. I'm going to be pitching the idea of doing a stream to a guy who runs a podcast station here, because I feel like getting into a podcast studio, we can set up a camera like they do in podcasting, and set up a mic and have the performers actually perform so we can see them on camera, so the Twitch streamers can see them. The only people who won't be able to see them are the people in the Comedy Night app, which means that the reactions that they'll have are going to be reacting essentially to the written jokes, you know, the performance of the jokes. They're not necessarily going to be able to see the physicality of it. But that's where the reactions will be, you know, more interesting.
If you're the MC and you're watching the comic perform, mm-hmm. and you master what all the controller buttons are, you might be able to control the avatar for them in a
exactly
accurate way too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, eventually if we do something like what I just described, we would have whoever's the tech, you know, learn how to do that so they could make it work better on the stage for them.
Cool.
But so that's the idea. It's actually going into practice sometime in the near future. Been trying to think of a name for it. Nerdy and Dirty is the only one that I've been able to come up with. Is, you know, using a video game to do comedy is about the height of nerddom.
Yeah, I don't know. Twitch something, maybe? Twitch. Any other ideas for his title for his? Twitch.
Live stream comedy? I don't know.
Something about Stitches, Twitches, Stitch, Twitch.
Well, that's the thing. If I do Twitch, I would have to do it on Twitch. There are other streaming services that I might use, so I don't want to have Twitch in the name.
Yeah. But
I was actually approached by somebody who is a friend of mine who runs another streaming platform, and he's trying to get me to use that one. So I'm probably going to see if I can get them as a sponsor, stream both on Twitch and on there, you know, different nights on different platforms.
Cool. But yeah, I'll be looking forward to seeing seeing that and maybe probably participating in that. But Ian, are you ready with your idea?
Yes. It's pretty loosely thought out. It's pretty simple, but I think we should have bad omen cookies instead of fortune cookies, because, you know, these fortune cookies are too positive. Like, it's always like it's never something bad.
I remember I thought about that years ago. Me and an ex of mine were going to call them misfortune cookies.
Yeah, I mean, since was just, that, like, I'm sure plenty of people have had the thought. I haven't heard it before, but I'm sure.
No,
like,
I think it's a great idea. I love it.
Why would you eat the cookies then? If it's just going to give you
hilarious.
Well, why would you eat a fortune cookie to begin with? It's not very good. Like, why would you ever have a fortune cookie over like a
a chocolate chip cookie or any other. It has almost no flavor. Like, I mean, it's a shitty cookie to begin with. So there's no reason to have a fortune cookie, like, unless you want the fortune.
So
it's going to tell me something good every time. I don't want it. Like, it's just, it's lying to me.
So the misfortune.
Not that it can't be. Not that it can't be good, but I mean, it should. There should at least be a balance, you know. Like, it's like, oh, today might not be such a good day, or you know, just something like something a little realistic. Like, I got one. No,
put ones in there that are terrible. Like, congratulations, you have AIDS.
Yeah, I agree.
Or like, hey, go get tested. Like.
Congratulations, you have AIDS. Sounds like you put the AIDS in the cookie, though.
I mean, anybody that's buying them knows that they're misfortunes. Like, that's the whole point.
Well, I like the idea of them not being misfortune, but like, you're rolling the dice when you get it. You know, it might be like,
okay,
maybe like, okay, like, you might meet the girl of your dreams today. But then on the other hand, it could be like, yeah, your grandma's going to die tomorrow or something, you know, just something. Just it should be a chance, you know, it should be realistic. Like, what? Just like whatever you get, you know, let them write whatever they want in those things. You know, don't just make it positive.
And you will meet the girl of your dreams. Remember, nightmares are also dreams.
Yeah, just have it start off with like a positive thing, and then just go into just
and
something
then remind
super dark.
You that remind you, hey, these aren't 100%, guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got one that was pretty funny a few years ago, and I remember it to this day. But it was like the middle of November, and I think I was like sitting in my college cafeteria, and I got one that said, boats and water are in your future. Like, it's fucking November, man. Like, like, clearly somebody was joking around with that, which I appreciated, but it's like, come on, man. It's just not, I don't know. I think it should just be, people should just be writing jokes in them is what I'm saying. It should just be a big joke.
Is the idea that the cookies cause the fortune, or they tell you the fortune that would have already happened? I'm not familiar with the lore of cookies and fortunes.
They're supposed to like tell your future, like that type of thing.
But it doesn't. It's not like you get the wrong cookie and that causes your future to be bad.
Correct. No, you're already. You're already. Heading that way. The cookie's just giving you a heads up.
Yeah, so you can change it maybe.
Like, I guess maybe it's more for people who just know the idea of fortune cookies are bullshit to begin with, and you just want to see something funny, just kind of something ridiculous and off the wall, like not something that's totally false, like, oh, you're things are looking up come next month or something like that, you know.
So it's like the you could call it Cookies Against Humanity, like Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, pretty much.
For cookies.
It's pretty much just a dark take on fortune cookies. But I don't know. It bothers me that they're at least not like half negative, you know. They should at least be like half something horrible could happen to you, you know, because you never get that. And I think fortune cookies are actually, they're American based. They're not, it's not actually like a Chinese thing, which is funny to me because we're very positive in America.
Yeah. I think misfortune cookies should be really bad for you nutritionally. Like, just like,
I remember when we came up with them, it was literally just going to be fortune cookies, but we put black food dye in the cookie mix so it was black. And like, you open
No, I think it should be half black and half white. It should just be like, it looks like part of it's rotten, but it's not. It's just that they just took the black.
the inside of it was like red paper with black lettering. So it was like really trying to play on like the bad luck stereotypes, you know?
Yeah. Or you could Solomon, even, you could even
Solomon Hot Topic. Got the kids to lead them up.
Or what if you got a fortune cookie that either had like, there wasn't an actual fortune in it. Like you opened it and you just were stuck with the shitty cookie, or you just got a, like a piece of paper that didn't say anything on it.
Or like a dead bug. Like a tequila has like the fly in it. So you could probably put like a dead cricket in there or something, a dead edible dead bug. Yeah, that might not. That might cut from your profits. People might not want it. Kate cringed the board up when I mentioned dead dog.
Well, I think
it's
it would
a
probably,
worm, not a fly.
Whatever.
What tequila do you drink when
no,
there's a
I don't
fly
drink
in it?
Tequila. Sorry.
Tequila left out on a porch?
Yeah, I have that. I have a rundown house, really bad hygiene and not very clean. No, I don't drink tequila really. But
I can't do tequila. It's too much.
Nope. I had a tequila night. Not allowed. No more. When you're out
so
drinking,
where
frat
did I
boys,
leave my pants drink?
There's a problem.
Yeah, maybe your misfortune cookies could, some of them, once pot's totally legal, could have like edible pot because that can like make you paranoid or whatever.
Hell no, man. Just, no way. I ain't giving away free drugs.
I just love that you call them misfortune cookies and I call them bad omen cookies and yours is so much just simpler and better. Like, obviously that's how I should have thought of the name for it, but I said bad omen.
I mean,
but
that's why I told it to you. That way if you end up doing it, hey, cool, do it. Like, it's just so funny. Like, that's something I thought of years ago. I was like, instead of good fortunes, how about we just put all bad fortunes in it? Collect them, you know?
That'd be a great thing to
sell.
Well,
that's
sell
one of those
the,
ideas. I was like, somebody's definitely thought of this before, but I don't know. I hadn't seen a bit on it, but I'm sure.
No,
I'm sure it's
I think
been
it's
done
great
to some degree.
I think, dude, I'll put it this way. What you just heard was literally all I had thought about them. It was a one day like, oh, that would be cool. And then never thought of again. So,
well, I didn't think of it again. I was scrambling through my notebook. I was like, oh, shit, I got to bring a creative idea. And that was
a great idea.
I bet it'd sell great at the Gathering of the Juggalos. Misfortune cookies.
Oh yeah,
like it's a feasible idea. They're not hard to make.
But what, the hardest part is finding the perfect paper to cookie ratio. I think is the real problem. It's like,
yeah,
just have them be brutally honest. Just have them look like fortune cookies and just be like, "Congratulations, you're gonna take a giant shit now." Oh my god! I don't know. The Juggalos would approve. I'm just saying.
It should be like something I like that. It should be something sudden, like something's about to happen to you in the next 5 minutes and you better,
right, exactly.
You better get ready for it.
Call him Bill Cosby's misfortune cookies. You're about to pack out.
Yeah. Just have the watch it or like, be on the lookout for Bill Cosby. That'd be one of the missions.
Or just a creepy photo of him on the paper inside.
Oh, man, no, I couldn't do that. No. Can't do that to somebody. They open it up and have a picture of Ghost Dad.
Well, I think we're about out of time. That was Creativity Wasted. Thanks for calling in, guys. And thanks for listening, everybody who's listening. Good
thanks
night
for having us, man.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for having us.